For years, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was the media's favorite portly, blunt, wisecracking pal. A human soundbite seemingly allergic to standard cliches and disingenuous political pieties. He was a can-do Republican willing to do business with Democrats, even the despised Barack Obama.
This was the longest, tightest bear hug that I've ever seen between Chris Christie and Barack Obama.
Yes, in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, on the eve of a national election, he actually hugged the president. But Chris Christie has had a tough winter. In early January, what had seemed to be a benign traffic jam due to lane closings on the George Washington Bridge was revealed to be politically motivated revenge. And suddenly, tales of Christie administration's strong-arming and dirty tricks were national news. Here's NBC's Brian Williams in January.
Emails have been released showing the traffic backup was the work, apparently, of members of Christie's staff, among others, and that it was intentional and political, meant to make life difficult for a Democratic mayor on the Jersey side of the bridge.
Last week, New Jersey's largest newspaper, the Newark Star-Ledger, recanted its 2013 endorsement of Christie months after the election. Clearly, Chris Christie's fortunes and his prospects for a 2016 presidential bid have changed dramatically, and so has his till now masterly handling of the news media. Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio has been covering the governor since 2011. He wrote a recent article for Politico about his time with Christie, titled "Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Strange Thrill of Covering Chris Christie." In a December 2nd press conference, Katz became the first reporter to ask the governor about the scandal now known as Bridgegate.
I worked the cones, actually, Matt. Unbeknownst to everybody, I was actually the guy out there. I was in overalls and a hat there. You really are not serious with that question.
He mocked me, which is something that those of us in the New Jersey State House press corps are somewhat accustomed to.
Now, that was kind of a classic bit of Christie's disarming humor, right? But it's also kind of a turning point for him, wasn't it? Because until that moment, he had been very much on the offensive. You say in a piece that you wrote in Politico about covering Christie that he wasn't so much as a news subject as a news organization in and of himself. How?
That's right. He has a robust communication staff. They cut up clips of his speeches, of his comments to us at press conferences, and they email blast them out to every reporter who's on their list and then untold others, including the folks on MSNBC and Morning Joe.
John Heilman calls our show Good Morning Trenton because we love Chris Christie so much around here.
They would talk in the morning about what Christie did yesterday because they got a direct email with a YouTube clip of the governor saying something sort of non-politician-like, and they loved him for it.
He was able to win news cycles by determining what would constitute the soundbite of the day.
And it was totally successful for almost 4 years.
In your Politico piece, you gave a very vivid example of how he was able to hijack any given daily news cycle. In his race for re-election against Liberal Democrat Barbara Buono, she held a press conference to call attention to what she said was his sorry record on higher education.
Most people just want a chance. They just want an opportunity. And I find myself wondering, what would their lives be like if they had had the opportunities that I had? But you know what? In Chris Christie's New Jersey, we'll never find out. Because this is a governor who is an opportunist, spending $2 million additional dollars on an ad campaign that features you at the Jersey Shore. Now, I don't know about you, but seeing Chris Christie frolicking on the beach is not going to drive me to go to the shore.
At the very moment when Barbara Buono is trying to get her feet on the ground here and unveil her education proposal, he went off on her and basically accused her of making fun of his weight.
I think it's really beneath the office that she's seeking, but I'll put up with it now. It won't change the way I feel about myself and about lots of other people who I represent in this state who face a similar challenge I've had in trying to control their weight and be in better shape.
He gave a killer soundbite, and it blew her education proposal out of the water.
All right, Matt Katz. If a media manipulator shows up in the forest and no media are there to be manipulated, See what I'm saying? Did he get a free pass from particularly the New Jersey media through the sheer strength of his personality?
I don't think so at all. I mean, even if we were frankly wowed by how the head of the 11th biggest state in the country had become an absolutely national phenomenon, that didn't prevent the New Jersey media from not being as aggressive as possible on him. The national media, I think, is a different story.
I want to ask you about that. In the introduction, I referred to a column in the Newark Star-Ledger essentially retracting its endorsement of the governor for his reelection. And there was this litany of governance failures by the Christie administration, education and infrastructure and redevelopment and so on. My reaction to that was, whoa, really? And that's because I'm a consumer mainly of national media. Are there two Chris Christies?
There are. There would be stories about politically connected donors getting contracts for Sandy cleanup in the Star-Ledger, for example. And then the next day, he would be on Morning Joe or the Today Show, and he would be asked questions like, why are you the most popular Republican in America?
Okay, now that was then. This is now. Has Christie lost control of the narrative?
They lost control of the narrative once Bridgegate started to lead to other stories that the national media globbed onto about abuse of power. The first big one after Bridgegate was the mayor of a town went to MSNBC and said that Christie officials tried to shake me down to approve a redevelopment deal. They were going to take away my Hurricane Sandy relief funds if I didn't approve this deal.
I remember telling my inner circle, like, I can't believe this. I just received a direct threat from the governor of the state of New Jersey.
And once that happened, Team Christie totally lost control because now every story was viewed through this lens of abuse of power.
Now, the Christie media operation hasn't gone away. It's just changed tactics. What are they doing now?
Team Christie found themselves in a defensive crouch when normally they're always on the offensive. The New York Times has been particularly aggressive, and there was a story that came out that a key witness in this bridge scandal had evidence to indicate Christie created this traffic jam. This was the day before the Super Bowl was being played in New Jersey. This was Christie's big moment, and it stopped that cold, and it had an absolute seismic reaction throughout the news universe. The New York Times ended up changing its lead slightly and its headline. The letter from this witness didn't say that he had evidence. It said evidence existed, which might seem like a slight difference in some eyes, but in other eyes, including the Christie administration's eyes, it seemed like a huge difference. They're making an accusation here that the Times is against them, and particularly this reporter. They're trying to set a precedent from now on that they are not going to take what the New York Times says seriously. I also think there is something of a dog whistle to the right here. Christie has seen his numbers remain stable in one place and even inch up a little bit, and that's among conservatives who have a deep, deep distrust of the mainstream media and always thought that Christie was not one of them because he seemed to be beloved by places like MSNBC. And now he's being put through the ringer by the New York Times. Some Christie folks are hoping that maybe he emerges stronger because he's got street cred now. And he's been vetted. There's investigative reporters from all over the country in Trenton right now digging through his past. Better comes out now than right before the South Carolina primary.
Matt, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Matt Katz covers Governor Chris Christie for New Jersey Public Radio.